It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. It's time for Hendersonville Lightning with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. And once again, Bill and I are observing our 6 feet separation by having Bill Skype in for Lightning Thursdays. Good morning, Bill. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Good morning. Good to be back, even if it is 6 miles away.
It is more like 6 miles away, exactly. But life goes on. Yes, we are dealing with our COVID-19 crisis here, but life goes on, and so does the Hendersonville Lightning. It is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes today. And once again, like every Thursday, it is Lightning radio time here on the queue. So, Bill, let's just get right to the news. Let's get behind this week's headlines, and let's start right here on the front page. You've got a lot of COVID-19 crisis coverage this week in the Lightning, and your headline right here, Main Street business is struggling with shutdown and delays from the SBA. Talk to us about this story, Bill.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the first part of it. We've already had some coverage of course, with the restaurant going from no dine-in coverage to outdoor dining to then even having outdoor seated dining banned. In fact, this picture shows outdoor seated dining that I'm not sure would be allowed now. They have takeout containers, I don't know if they've taken away the outdoor seating or not. That's in front of the French Broad. But it also focuses, thanks to a partnership with Carolina Public Press, which is a nonprofit kind of investigative reporting online Asheville-based publication. We have from a Carolina Public Press reporter story about what happened at French Broad, and the owners Chuck and Jana Watson had a terrific problem. And keep in mind, this story was reported really mostly last week,
right?
Before they announced the $2 trillion rescue lifeline stimulus plan that has now passed the Senate and is awaiting action in the House. So I suspect unless they hire a bunch of people really quickly, the problem's going to get worse. But it talks about how Chuck and Jana went online and on the telephone and got put on hold for 4.5 hours. And then Chuck finally got was ultimately cut off.
Wow.
All because the online site says they can't verify his identity, according to, I think that interview was with Jana. So it talks about how that still was not resolved. And Jana says, if we're able to stay afloat with a combination of loans and takeout business, and the duration is on the short of the shutdown is on the shorter side of predictions, we believe it will be feasible. It goes on to explain the availability at that point of some SBA loans, but I think that's probably already perishable news because there's more news on SBA loans and when they're coming out, whether they will be forgivable and so forth. So we've got that story, and Caroline Gunner of WAG talking about still trying to stay open as far as some reporting of the shops, not restaurants, but the regular gift shops downtown and what they're doing. And then more coverage on page two, also of restaurant closing. We have a terrific reporter that has more time on her hands now from Hendersonville High School, Gracie Milner, reported. She opens with Sweet Frog Frozen Yogurt Shop, usually being real busy on a warm day. This was last Wednesday. She was out on the ground reporting, I think, and usually they would be filled up with customers on a warm day like that. But by mid-afternoon, they had only had 3 customers show up for a sweet treat. So business, of course, had fallen off a great deal at that point as well. So a lot of restaurant coverage in those two stories.
Well, and it's interesting, Bill, because, you know, it's fun to share some of the positive stories that are out there. We were just sharing a great story about Wild Birds Unlimited and the folks who are just covering them up with business with curbside service. service and some of the home and neighborhood deliveries that they're doing. Harvey's at the Henderson opened up and said they were doing, of course, takeout. We shared the story that they sold out of fish and chips dinners for tonight, over 50 dinners. So it's fun to hear the positive stories. And while we love to share those positive stories, there, of course, are the tough ones out there also.
Yeah, exactly. And that I'm glad to hear that because maybe they read our column where we said, let's support restaurants with curbside orders, because we surely want all these restaurants that we've enjoyed so much over the years. They're successful. They're good. They're savory and reliable for a long time. We want them to be here when this is over as well, so we can go back and sit down once again.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this lovehendo.com, but I want to make a point also, Bill, and you do it also with your editorial that you're sharing here on the Queue. You know, these are the same restaurants and small businesses that our nonprofits and our baseball leagues and softball leagues and they go to all year long and ask for sponsorship dollars or ask for donations for fundraisers, and our small businesses and our restaurants step up all year long every year. Now it's time to return that favor. You know, now it's time for us to step up and say, all right, now we're here for you. You know, thank you for what you've done. Now we're gonna do our best to make sure you stay in business by purchasing gift cards or doing what we can to order for curbside service.
Yeah, that's exactly right, that they are locally owned and locally operated. I think some of the fast food chains are probably doing okay or a little bit better equipped to respond and survive, because it's so natural to think of them as the drive up, not just a curbside, but as a drive through. And few, if any, of these places, of course, have that option of actually existing on drive through business.
Yeah, and we want to remind folks that there's one central location you can go to. Yes, you've got some ads where you're sharing the information, and so are we. But thanks to a partnership with Henderson County Chamber of Commerce and Historic Downtown Hendersonville and some other folks, that website, lovehendo.com, is where you can go. And you can look for restaurants and dining. You can look for businesses. You can look for hospitality. Anybody who's open and what they are providing, and phone numbers and email addresses and all of it right there in one location.
Yeah, and you can buy gift cards at that site.
Yes. And a reminder that downtown, you know, it's a little more difficult for curbside service for each of the restaurants downtown, but they have, and you've got the story here also on page 4, they've got these orange barricades all around Main Street and some of the side streets that are reserving spots for specific curbside pickup. So when you call one of those downtown restaurants, they'll tell you which spot to go to be able to pick up. And that story's here too as well, right?
Yeah, they're very recognizable. It's the same orange barricades you might remember seeing either at the Apple Festival or Rhythm and Brews that they've put out one or two at a time, usually two at all the restaurants that are offering curbside, and there are quite a few. So that's another way to easily patronize the restaurant and get your to-go order.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, we'll be back. We are going to take our short break here, and we'll be back with more Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service.
Mountain Home Care knows that these uncertain times can feel scary, but they want to assure you it is still safe to provide your loved ones with home care. Please visit the website and learn more about their efforts to keep you and your family safe. Visit mountainhomecare.com. That's mountainhomecare.com.
And we're back with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, with more COVID-19 coverage right here going on in our community. Bill, let's talk about page 6 and 7 here on this week's Lightning. How our government, how city and county government are handling this COVID-19 deal?
Well, exactly. We talked about restaurants. We talked about retail. But the business of governing goes on as well.
Yeah.
And we got a roundup of that on page 7 and 8 that shows a picture of the Mills River Town Council. At picnic tables under a picnic shed, seated 6 feet apart, and taking up some important governing business last Thursday night. And then after that, we've got a roundup really of what all of the restrictions that I'd say every local government at this point has put in place, restrictions on restricting visits to City Hall, restricting business, encouraging, almost insisting that business, if it can be done by phone, email, Skype, Zoom, or some of the other remote meeting software, that they should be done that way. So you can see that as well in the lightning.
So let's stay on that and talk a little bit about, of course, this week's lightning. You've got the, speaking of government going on, you've got delinquent tax announcements in this week's lightning.
Yeah, pages upon pages. I think it's 24 pages. All of delinquent tax notices, 22, I think it is, of Henderson County delinquent tax notices. We'll have a bit more coverage. It's not quite ripe to pick, but we'll have a bit more coverage about what's in there in the delinquent tax notices, who and what they are and how much they owe. And also you'll see it's a couple pages of delinquent tax notices from the town of Fletcher.
Speaking of, speaking of government, as we're talking about it, let's go back to the front page, if we can. And again, speaking of local government, let's go to Mills River and their last meeting where they were all 6 feet apart. The story here is Mills River bans digital signs, adopts building facade rules.
Exactly. This is one of those we dug in deeper. It's a story behind the story of what caused the Mills River Town Council member Richmond Meadows to resign at the end of the March 12 meeting
right.
of the Mills River Town Board. And little was said. We did a bunch of work because we had missed a couple of meetings. So we got the minutes from meetings going back to January where both of these things were discussed, and that is to much more strictly regulate digital signs and also to much more strictly regulate really the exterior. What does a new commercial look like, basically? What it can be made out of? And as it turned out, by the time they actually imposed a moratorium on both commercial buildings and on electronic signs back in January. And so under the state law, I think you can only impose a moratorium like that for 60 days. It was about to expire. So, and all of a sudden, I think probably in a surprise, it probably came as a surprise to Councilman Meadows that the council went so far as to ban digital signs outright in a 4-1 vote. He was the lone no vote, and voted 3-2 for really what amounted to a very strict version of governing what commercial buildings can look like on the outside. Now they must be at least 75%. The material must be at least 75% natural or natural looking materials. We got the story. We interviewed Councilman Meadows, and he said, "Yeah, those changes were really too radical. We're not keeping up with the times if we don't see that electronic signs are okay." And I think he thinks the commercial building regulation was too burdensome on business as well. We have a picture on the jump, which is on page. On page 50, we have a picture of an O'Reilly Auto Parts, which is in part what led to this thing. The O'Reilly Auto Parts building, the one we show, is in Fletcher, and it looks pretty nice on the outside. It's got stucco and brick. As it turned out, O'Reilly Auto Parts also is looking to build one in Mills River, and they noticed, there was some I'm not sure how much. There was some language in the Mills River Town Code that governed the facades. It wasn't nearly as strong as what Fletcher has. So what O'Reilly Auto Parts ended up, what they proposed for Mills River is a metal building. And the council members did not like that.
Wow.
They did not like the difference between the two. But they really did. They thought, well, our ordinance must be too loose if we get a metal building and Fletcher has a tighter ordinance where they get this brick building that looks nicer. So blame O'Reilly Auto Parts in part for what amounts to really pretty strict commercial building regulation now in the town of Mills River.
So would you call this a not very business friendly ordinance that they've done? Is this going to affect more businesses coming to Mills River?
Well, I wouldn't call it that, but okay. you can let the reader decide and let you read the quotations from Richmond Reynolds and actually from Mayor Shay Davis as well, who said she thought it sounded too burdensome on small business, but nevertheless voted. No, she actually voted against. That was a 3-2 vote. Ah. And Mayor Davis voted against the commercial building part. She voted in favor of the electronic sign ban.
And so these ultimately are the reasons why Meadows decided to leave the council,
among other reasons. Okay. He confirmed that these were two big reasons, I guess you'd say. But he pledged to me, you can read it in the Lightning, that at some point, I guess we won't know when people can freely come back to public meetings, since a lot of them are remote now. He planned to go to the town council and sort of explain his reasons for having quit the town council.
Okay.
By the way, people you have to look. We reproduce a map of the districts of the Mills River Town Council. People can apply. I think it's through look online at our story. I'm not seeing that one right now,
okay.
But you can look online, HendersonvilleLightning.com, and see the story about how to apply for the Mills River Town Council opening.
So, Bill, you just made a great point in this story that I haven't really thought about yet, and that is, you know, with government going on, when you get a certain amount of government officials together, a board together, you have to be open to the public. So how are they handling meetings that are supposed to be open to the public right now?
Well, the answer, you're exactly right. The answer is we don't know for sure. There was some discussion about that. We wrote, I think it's in one of our online stores. We've just had so many. Our email blows up every hour with, you know, two or three or four or five announcements per hour different things. At a meeting last Friday now of the Hendersonville City Council, they talked about this very issue, and I don't think they've established the actual policy going forward, how they plan to do this. But one suggestion was that, okay, you got everybody, they're there at the building, it'll probably move from City Hall, almost surely will, to the City Operations Center, which is much more roomy and people can sit far apart. So let's say you got a zoning case. There's a couple of big tax credit financing projects for apartment complexes that are on the docket for the City Council. Okay, let's say there's a lot of people that want to show up and speak for or against those projects. They would wait outside or in their car in the parking lot, not in the building. And then when that item came up, somebody would conceivably call them on a sale or just go out there and fetch them and say, okay, the item about the project on Chimney Rock Road is now up. Y'all can come in. And people who had been there, let's say it was the other project on Duncan Hill Road, say, okay, y'all can leave because your item is over. Your public hearing is over.
Wow.
They didn't say that's what they're going to do. What we've seen right now, Mark, going forward, is many, many towns. Flat Rock is at this point, I think, has called off everything through the month of April. I believe that's right. Read the Lightning and see a roundup of what the towns have done. But nearer term, a lot of things are being called off, but that can't last forever. For instance, those tax credit financing projects that I just talked about, those need a yes or no decision because there's a deadline coming up for those two separate developers to apply to the state of North Carolina for approval for tax credit financing. Now, what your natural question would be, well, deadlines like that, are they hard or are they likely to be pushed back? My guess is the latter. A deadline like that is likely to be pushed back because in this crisis, the government is turning its attention to one thing and one thing only, and that's the COVID-19.
Yeah.
COVID-19 threat, but also how do we go about, how do we build this economic recovery?
Exactly. Speaking of online stories, one of the things, Bill, that you have chosen to do with Hendersonville Lightning is you are offering some free news now on your website as well. Some of the COVID-19 coronavirus coverage. You don't necessarily have to pay to play on some of these. I'm not sure which of those stories, but let's talk about some of the stuff that you do have online, because it's impossible with all of the changes as fast as things are coming in to get everything in print right now. And one of those stories we featured in our local news today from your website, and that is how Party UNC Health is dealing financially with this COVID-19 crisis.
Yeah, this was a little bit startling, I thought. It was a good story that one of those only in the Lightning, only in HendersonvilleLightning.com, which, to your point a minute ago, all of them are supposed to be unlocked in front of the paywall. If they're not, it's only because we neglected to unlock them The lock or the paywall is automatic, but we can go in and unlock them and put them. And we strive to do that on all of them. Sometimes moving at lightning fast pace, sometimes we neglect, and then we have to go back and unlock them when it comes to our attention or when we see that it was behind the paywall. But this one, again, interesting on a couple of levels. We were covering it remote by conference call, and there was a lot of really interesting news that came out of that meeting. But one of the unfortunate information was that their revenue has plunged already about 50% in March, which was forecast to be a strong month. ER visits down, urgent care visits down, physician practice visits down. And so far you say, well, don't they have a lot of beds filled with COVID-19 patients? No, they have zero. The party has zero. People have been chattering about COVID-19 patients at Pardee for weeks now that I've been hearing. And the answer is that's not true. There's not been one so far. So it's not as if beds are filled with COVID-19 patients. And because that's not the case, anyway, overall, there's a lot of detail of these numbers that I'm not going to go through right now. But you can read it on HendersonvilleLightning.com and in this week's Lightning as to what the problems are. And we go on to how they're doing with trying to get 400 additional test kits, a new kind of an in-house, they're going to be able to open up a lab in-house to read them, to get an answer, a yes-no answer, a positive-negative answer in under 2 hours versus 2 to 3 days now when they send them out to LabCorp. So you'll see that coverage as well and other things they're doing in response. How they're staying current so far. They're okay with PPE, but they've also announced, and I think you've had an announcement on, because I heard it on WTCQ radio, that they are accepting donations of a bunch of different personal protective equipment kind of items, right?
Yep, and that's in anticipation of what they feel could happen. They're okay right now, but in anticipation of what could happen, they are accepting those donations. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, and lots more coverage as well online.
All right, fantastic. And again, most of the coverage that you have online there, you've taken down that paywall so that you're able to provide that for folks. And thank you for doing that. Let's touch on something else very quickly, a positive thing out of this. And I don't think we can necessarily blame this on the COVID-19 crisis, and that's the gas prices that have gone down, because Saudi Arabia and Russia were sort of doing this pricing war just as all this was happening. So we might have low gas prices whether we had this coronavirus or not. And you've got some of that story on lightning.com right now.
Well, you're exactly right. Apparently, the Saudis and Russians had agreed to not price fix necessarily, but they'd agreed to restrain how much oil they pumped, how much gas they produce, basically. And as I understand it from reading about it, when the Saudis actually dropped out of that, the pumps just became, they just flooded the market, both of them.
Yeah.
everyone's flooding the market with gasoline. But I think you probably have a little bit of a dual cause and effect there of a drop in demand because people aren't driving much. And so, again, supply bigger by far than it was 2 months ago, demand way less than it was 6 months ago. So this shows the end mark sign on Asheville Highway at $1.87 per gallon.
Wow.
$1.87 per gallon. And the thing was, yesterday I saw a range of 40 cents because I saw some that was still up like at 229. So if you shop around, you can save not just a few pennies, but 40 cents a gallon on gasoline. If you and Ingalls was only a couple pennies higher at $1.89.
Wow, too bad we're not taking a road trip right now, huh?
Yeah. Well, the trouble is few people are because, you know, the destinations that you might want to go to, like the beach, aren't really encouraging visits. And so we'll may have to wait a little while for that.
Absolutely. So once again, Bill, we want to remind folks that, you know, you do as good a job as you possibly can of getting as many of these stories as quickly as you can into the print version of the Lightning. But we want to remind folks to keep going to hendersonvillelightning.com. You can also see those headlines updated consistently on our website, WTZQ.com, just as you heard Bill say a minute ago. But, you know, just by the hour, just changes and so many things coming in. And Bill, you and your staff are doing a great job of keeping that information out there, and we appreciate that. So we want to remind folks to keep checking your website or our website, WTZQ.com, for those ever-changing headlines for what's happening locally right here in COVID-19 response and for our local business community. So, Bill, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We want to remind folks, got to pick up their copy of The Lightning, Just wash your hands beforehand and get on out there and make sure you can get your copy of the print Lightning. How do they do that, Bill?
They can still go outside and go to any of the Lightning Orange racks all around the county to buy a single copy or visit any of the Lightning partners, such as convenience stores, and Publix is one of them, of course. Or a lot of people are self-isolating at home, and that doesn't stop you from getting the Lightning as well, because you can get an all-access subscription very easily by going to the Hendersonville Lightning and clicking on that red tab. We do have adjusted and a bit more limited hours at the office. Trying to avoid non-essential contact as much as possible, but you can also always call Jan at 698-0407 to start your all-access subscription to the Lightning.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again for Lightning Thursdays next week, all right?
Mighty fine. Appreciate it.
Stay safe, and thanks for keeping us posted on things. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.